Rocky Man is a production of the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network, produced by Doug Greenberg and Jason Heats. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Rocky Minute, and join our Facebook listeners group, Mighty Mix. You can also send us an email at rockyminute@gmail.com and tell us how great or how bad our podcast is. We have Rocky Minute t-shirts, coffee mugs, and notebooks, and other items for sale at our Rocky Minute page on tpublic.com. You can find our other great podcasts on the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network, showcasing the talents from the greatest era in action films. We can be found on any podcast app like Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating and a comment. Special thanks go out to the creators of the Minute by Minute, format Alex Robinson and Pete the Retailer from Star Wars Minute. Go to moviesbyminutes.com to see a complete list of all the movies that got the Minute by Minute treatment. Thank you for listening. As Sylvester Stallone would say, keep punching.
And welcome back to Rocky Minute, the daily podcast where we analyze the movie Rocky III 1 minute at a time. I'm Doug.
And I'm Jason.
And we have joining us once again our good friends from Answering the 10 Count, the podcast, Tommy and Greg. Welcome, fellas.
Hello.
Hello.
Oi, mate.
Oi, mate. Oi.
Thanks for inviting us back, lads.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you.
Wasn't expecting it.
After last yesterday's minute.
Yeah.
Well, nevertheless, you're here. So our listeners might not like it, but.
this is where you're stuck with.
Yeah. So today we're knocking out minute 15, which begins with the kiss and it ends with a shocking revelation by Mickey. What could that be?
Maybe Mickey says it dodo too.
Listen, you guys thought that we were free from the Rocky and Adrian thing, but not quite yet, because they're, you know, the classic Rocky and Adrian love song plays on the piano as they kiss, and we finally cut to the arena. That was a long, like, minute and 3 or 4 seconds, wasn't it?
That was the longest minute of the Rocky franchise, I think. Although the Coma might be up there. The Coma's up there.
And I'm sure you guys have come to this realization that you've done as many episodes as you have, but when you really break these movies down minute by minute like this, like, you really see how much junk filler there really is.
Yeah, it's you kind of gloss over a lot of it when you're just watching the movie, but when you're cutting it up, and there were scenes that don't seem long when you're watching it, but are like a full 5 minutes when you're covering it minute by minute. You're like, how do we talk about this? Remember the after the wedding scene from last year when they make sweet love?
No. Oh, God.
Okay. Jay's already blocked it out of his mind, but that was a long scene to cover. All right. So we're at the arena. Okay, and have the marquee here. What does that marquee say?
The marquee says
city. I think it's because there's a banner inside the arena. Hold on a second.
It says Youth Athletic League Benefit, City Youth Athletic City Benefit, Youth, yeah. Battle of Champions, Rocky Balboa versus Thunder Lips.
Brother.
Thunder Lips, the world heavyweight wrestling champion. The ultimate male.
Versus that's the next minute. Sorry, I went through it all.
Yeah, come on, guys. We really got to stick to the format here.
Yeah. Understandable.
So we have the commentators are speaking. The boxer against the wrestler, all proceeds going to charity, whatever the City Youth League benefit is. I didn't look into it, Jay. Did you at all?
No, I don't care.
Okay,
I'll just donate it $5. Hopefully, I get it.
It's some youth league charity, and youth league. I guess we'll call it
whatever.
Yeah.
It's very vague. They probably left it vague, obviously, for a reason, because it doesn't exist.
These fellas, the commentators, are Dennis James and Jim Healy. Jim Healy, I'm not sure which one that is. One of them. He has 16 credits on IMDb where he plays TV commentator, sportscaster, or announcer. And the other fella, Dennis James, is a hometown Jersey boy, Jay, from Jersey City, New Jersey.
Oh, excellent.
He has 20 credits to his name, mostly as MC, host, or announcer. And he did one episode of the Batman TV show where he plays Chet Chumley. Guys like this, I don't know. I don't know that episode, or I didn't even look at what it's called, but I don't know who Chet Chumley is.
You don't know who Chet Chumley is?
No.
Who are you?
Not a Chet Chumley fan.
What rock have you been under?
I'm sending you guys a photo, okay? Just
let's see.
This guy, the guy behind the announcers, his mustache is incredible.
Yeah,
look at that. It nearly touches his ear.
And he's that guy
nearly touches his ear.
It does. That is serious. I was waiting to find out who he is. He's an exceptional human.
The guy behind the announcers.
He's the ring announcer.
Oh, yeah. The ring announcer.
Yeah.
You guys don't know who the ring announcer is. Okay. Stand by, fellas.
We're trying to stick to the format of Japan, like you just said.
No.
Trying to listen to the business.
At the moment, he's just an unknown background character, you see.
In the business we come from, gentlemen, we call it a little bit of a kid's fizz. Okay, fame. Gotta play along, gotta protect the business. You'll learn more about it here in a minute or two.
Can you even see him in this
minute? Yeah, Greg just sent a screenshot.
Jesus, you're jumping all over the place, Greg.
He's on it.
I don't know why he's sitting down now, though. And that
he's sitting down later.
He's behind the announcers. Oh, okay. Yeah,
but he should be already in the ring. Rocky's already in the ring.
Yeah.
You're right, he should.
So isn't the ring announcer in the ring?
Maybe he's a shitty announcer. That's why we've never seen him again.
I don't even know where the hell in this minute that screenshot is from.
It's a bit later on.
Just a bit later on. Listen, Greg, if you're going to be part of the show, if you're going to be part of the show, we have to go second by second through this minute.
Welcome to the Rocky Second Podcast.
Second
50 in there. Man, Tommy called
dibs. We're going to do the Rocky Frame by Frame Podcast next year. We're an episode 13,072 in this frame. Rocky's still getting punched in the face. Thanks, guys, for coming on the show. What do you think about this angle of Rocky getting punched in the face? I personally prefer it. It was a bit more backlighting than the previous angle. All right, I ran that one out.
Oh, keep going. This is riveting.
Yeah, we got to get to Mickey here. We got to get to Mickey. This is
I want to ask you guys, since you are wrestling podcasters, what's your feelings about the age old theory that once the wrestler gets a hold of the boxer, it's all she wrote?
It's 100% true, sir. You can
I agree.
Strikers can. I mean, look at you guys. Watch UFC at all or MMA?
Dabble.
You could be the best kung fu fighter in the whole world, but if an Olympic wrestler gets a hold of you and take you down and grind on you. In this case, when you have the 6'8" mountain of a man that is Thunder Lips, pure testosterone embodied, what's he do?
Are you jumping ahead?
No, I'm not jumping ahead. Thunder Lips appears in this minute. I know he does.
I don't know who you're talking about yet.
We haven't gotten to that frame yet, Greg.
Just on the wrestling thing, though, Mickey does make he does say that, you know, who is this dinosaur? He's a dinosaur, this guy. It's funny because there is actually a dinosaur wrestler now. So his name's Luchasaurus. So
Luchasaurus.
He's a big master. He's 6'6", big muscly guy. He's a big unit. So. I just thought it was funny that he's kind of new to the scene, so it's funny that Mickey mentions a dinosaur, and then there's this this new wrestling sensation called Luchasaurus, who is a wrestling dinosaur. So
can he cause a variety of damage?
He can cause a variety of damage. That is that's my favorite line ever. There it is. You have a fallen dinosaur. A variety of damage. I wish I was. I wish I could write that. I wish I could write that line.
He does say in the script, I think he says he's as big as a dump truck or something like that.
Do you have the novelization for this one, Doug?
No, I went through it and there's nothing really outrageous in it. So I'm just kind of referring to the script here.
To go back to the wrestling boxing thing, like, you know, we had this recently with Conor McGregor and
Floyd
Mayweather, mm-hmm. Where you're crossing over disciplines to fight, and it's not possible. This is not fair unless Rocky has some wrestling, because the striking, like, you can overcome that in a second. If you're a good wrestler, you know, and he could be taken down before he even throws a punch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the thing with that fight was that it was a boxing match, though, so
right. If you're going to do something like this, you need to stick to the discipline. You just say this is strictly a boxing event or this is going to be a wrestling event and take the gloves off. Well, I don't want to foreshadow, but, you know, it's you can't have a boxer following boxing rules fighting a wrestler who's, you know, basically in a free for all, anything goes type of situation.
Mm. Yeah. And that was why the middle ground in that Floyd and Conor fight was the weight of the gloves. And everything, they negotiated that because MMA fighters fight with 4-ounce gloves, Floyd fights with 16-ounce gloves, and, you know, there was a lot of back and forth. I think they wound up using 12-ounce gloves, if I'm not mistaken, but at one point they were going to do 8s, and the boxing crowd freaked out because Floyd would just be giving up so much because he'd be risking a lot to use 8-ounce gloves. He could injure his hands and stuff like that. And so that was the big thing with that. So if this were the same case, I guess if this were a boxing match, do you think Rocky has the speed, greasy fast speed, to beat Hulk Hogan in a straight boxing match?
Well, not yet.
Obviously, we know that Hulk doesn't, or that Thunderlips doesn't have the boxing prowess, but the size and the strength. Do you think if it were just a boxing match and not a mixed discipline exhibition, as it were.
There's no way with Rocky being as little as he is to just jab and kind of keep distance. Mm-hmm. So it's going to end up on the ground at some
point. And also, when you have a boxing match, a glovey also applies. When you have a glovey, you take it, like, there's weight classes and you take that into consideration, weight and height. Like, to have, what do they say? He has 6'8", almost 7 feet, and Rocky's this is ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. Like, this wouldn't happen. This, you can't do this. I mean, this is a movie,
we'll get to it, but it does happen in real life.
Yeah,
we'll get to it. Save it.
And, what I did a little bit of research on the background of this. I saw that Rocky got to his essentially like the fittest he's ever been for this movie. And then he was 155 pounds. That's what he was down to.
Yeah.
And like 2.5% body fat or something like that.
So he wouldn't even be,
be a lightweight.
A middle. He wouldn't even be a middleweight.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
But he's, when we get to it, we'll go over it, like his statistics, his measurements. But here in the script, though, they also, the ring announcers interview Clubber Lang. Mm-hmm. He calls Rocky a fool and says he has no dignity. And he says Rocky's been ducking him for 3 years, just like that fool Apollo Creed.
Mm.
So even 3 years ago when Apollo Creed was champion, are we supposed to believe that Clubber was even a contender back then?
Yeah, they must. Yeah, maybe that's why I took it out of the script. Out of the movie.
Yeah, maybe.
But why is
I got the from what we saw Clubber earlier in this. It was he fought his way up. He started out in this movie basically where Rocky was at the beginning of the original. He was just sort of fighting on the local you know, dives and stuff like that. And then I guess got a manager, because you see his manager, right, sort of watching from the shadows.
Just kept winning.
Yeah.
Clubber Lang steps up to ringside, photographer snap away. hey, boy, soon you're going to be mine here. He ain't nothing. I'm the real champion. Mickey tells him to get the hell out of here. Clubber says, I ain't going nowhere. When are you going to have that punk fight me, old man? Mickey says, when I feel like it. Clubber walks away, and Rocky turns to Mickey. When are we going to fight him? Mickey says, do I make the match? Rocky says, yeah. He goes, then don't worry about it. So we also are led to believe that Rocky has no idea who Clubber Lang even is, right? Until
I was just, that's the feeling I got from this, was that Rocky at this point, because he's so, because this one he's got money, he's doing, they show the montage of him shooting commercials and stuff like that early on, that he's insulated from everything, especially like the boxing scene. Like, he basically gets told who he's going to fight. I'm sure he's getting like just feeder fights just to make money.
Right, and Mickey's the one that's handling all the business end of
it. Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't want to jump too far ahead, but yeah, you pretty much find that out, don't you? That, you know, he fixed, not fixed his fights, but he, you know, people that Rocky could beat.
He gave him a few layups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He knew that he had gotten weak because he didn't have to struggle anymore. Mm-hmm. And because Mickey's seen this before. I mean, he's been a manager. He's been around the game for some years. He's top of the mountain now, trying to climb up, so... You see this with every, I mean, you see this with people, you know, with champions all the time in real life, and in boxing, and in even in football and stuff like that. Guys get to the point where they're the best, and they get comfortable, and then they're not anymore.
Well,
and losing.
Well, he's just you know, trying to assist Rocky in holding the belt and making as much money as he can. I guess paper champion.
You guys are really jumping ahead.
So Mickey calls Thunderlips a cement truck instead of the dinosaur. A cement truck in the script. But pretty much all of this Mickey and Rocky back and forth, and when Paulie chimes in, is all in the script. So I won't really refer to it too much, Jay.
Okay. Thank you.
But they can cause a variety of damage.
This is also my favorite Paulie too, I think.
Yeah.
This Paulie who is just like bitter, and he's just like, he's just beyond a drunk at this point. You know, he's just a total mess. But Rocky still keeps him around and takes care of him, even when he, you know, shows his true colors and stuff like that. Rocky still takes care of him because he's family.
We actually spoke to Craig Cohen earlier this week about the drunk Paulie, and you know, we asked you know, why that scene was in there with him busting up the pinball machine and Rocky bailing him out, and we kind of concluded that it was just a way to get from drunk Paulie to, you know, I don't know, rehab Paulie, mm-hmm. where he turns into a lovable buffoon from mm-hmm. here on out.
Interesting. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah,
he hit Rob Bogdan, and yeah, this is he's coming out of that now.
I don't know really what the main consensus is, but I like the bumbling Paulie. He's like the comic relief character, you know, drunk and angry Paulie. Yeah, that gets tired after a while.
I think drunk and angry Paulie could, it adds an element that bumbling goofy Paulie doesn't. The serious moments with Paulie are always, I think it's because they always make me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like in this movie, I don't mean to flashback to it, but this movie, he's like, I got you your first girl. Rocky's like, she was pregnant. You know, just like, that just sounds seedy and weird and creepy, and like, how old was Rocky? And what, you know what I mean? Like, and then like the same thing in I think it was in the first or the second movie. I guess it was the first movie when he's talking about Adrian. Like, just the way he talks about her and the way he.
You bone on my sister.
Yeah. And then him and Adrian get a shouting match in the house. And he's like, nobody wants you. You're busted. You know, and it's such a weird, like, creepy conversation from an older brother, you know? I just find that him, the way, just that darker Paulie adds an element that is a little deeper than, like, you know, whatever drunk Paulie does. You know,
but those are, those drunk Paulie scenes, you know, I think are the ones that helped the film win an Academy Award back in 77.
True.
You know, because it's like gritty.
They're definitely more of a, like the 70s is more a bit gritty, that kind of thing. Yeah. Whereas the 80s, you know, you get more of these, this and Rocky IV kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hell, I prefer this. Jay, anything? No. Okay, so the music kind of gets a little ominous as they announce the entrance of Thunderlips, the wrestling champion of the world, who's all decked out in red.
Who announces it? The announcers or the ring announcer? Because he's...
It's the mustache guy, right?
Mustache guy.
No, mustache guy's still sitting.
It's the commentator.
I think the ring announcer should be in the ring by now, but okay. Whatever. It's not a big deal.
But to illustrate... To illustrate how big Thunderlips is, Pauly asks, why are they carrying him?
Yeah. I love that.
He's walking. So thus brings us to the end of this minute. It's a good end of this minute.
Yeah, it's not.
And on that point, this is Hulk Hogan. Thunderlips is Hulk Hogan in his prime. This is before, or I'd say possibly right on the cusp of his prime, I guess. This is before his massive WWF run where he becomes a household name and everything.
Yeah, this is right before Hulkamania.
He's pretty much he'd worked at WWF. I looked at the timeline and everything to kind of have a little background on it, but he had worked for WWF at this point for Vince McMahon Sr.
Yeah.
They had a falling out, Greg, correct me if I'm wrong, over the movie, right? Did they have a falling out because he wanted to do the movie?
Yeah, Vince Sr. didn't want him to do it. So, yeah, he left and went to AWA and New Japan. So he was working between tours there. So, yeah, it wasn't until Vince Jr. took over from his dad that Vince Jr. wanted him to come back and build a company around him. And they did the national expansion and, Hulkamania was born. So
yeah. I don't think it wasn't simply because he took the movie. It was because his filming schedule was interfering with his wrestling schedule.
I read, though, that I'm going to read you word for word what I read. It said Hulk Hogan was fired by WWF chairman Vince McMahon for accepting the role of Thunderlips in this film.
And back in we have to sort of get back in our way back machine. This is before wrestling is commonly known to be what we call a work. Right. This is before everybody, this is before they've pulled back the curtain and everything. So I would assume Vince McMahon Sr., old school promoter, different than the Vince McMahon Jr. that we know today, it's on TV getting Stone Cold Stunned and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He was an old school promoter. I would imagine knowing that a guy who's going to be a big star for him is going to get beat in a movie by a guy that's half his size. Mm-hmm. When it's not, and also the way they sort of even frame up a bit, like Rocky's like, "Who you want to, come on, you want to throw a couple jabs?" They sort of frame it up a bit like it's fake too. You know what I mean? So If he saw the script or anything like that, that would probably play a hand in it as well.
They didn't want to peek behind the curtain.
Yeah, they want the guys that hear stories from old school wrestlers that back in the day that, like, if they ever got guys would pick fights with them at bars. And if they ever lost a fight, they would get fired.
Wow.
Well, it was Jim Duggan and the Antique, I think. One was the baby face, one was a heel, so a good guy and bad guy. And they got arrested in the car together. So they both got fired from the WWF because, heels and baby faces shouldn't ride in the same car together. So,
keeping up appearances was a big deal. That was even back into the mid to late 80s where that stuff was still a big deal in wrestling. So that, I'm sure, probably played a bit of a hand in it because I'm sure Vince knew enough to know that Thunderlips was not going to be the hero of this movie. You know what I mean?
Right, like coming out. Right, right.
So, for like, I don't want the 6'8". Who's 6'7". At one time, Hulk Hogan was legit 6'7". He's like 4 inches shorter now because of all his back surgeries.
I heard that. Doing his big boot and leg drops.
Yeah, his leg drops over the year has compressed his spine. And so now he's more like 6'4". Yeah. He's done the interviews where he said, apparently when he was in Japan for a while, he used just like a big body slam was his big finisher. And he was like, or like a sleeper hold. And he's like, why did I not just stick with that?
I think I might have some more Hulk Hogan stuff to carry us the rest of our minutes too. So what do you say we put a pin in this for today and we'll pick it back up tomorrow?
Sure.
All right. All right, guys. Well, folks, come back tomorrow. We still got Tommy and Greg for another few minutes. So sleep well and we'll see you tomorrow.
Cricket. Oh, Greg is not here yet.
Oh, Mike. There you go, baby.
Okay, so you're going to have to do... You're going to have to be Aussie Greg also.
I'll say, I can do both.
You have to play both parts.
So you have to go from Alabama to Australia.
Let me just turn some shrimp on the barbie.
All right. So Greg is here. Welcome.
That's not a knife.
Classic.
Classic Australian stuff. Oh, is it a spider?
That was more of an
English. Yeah.
Oh, she's
I've been, a trying to do an Australian accent. I can't. It's really tough. It's a tough one. You can only do it when you're talking about the Bobby.
Yeah, you got a stock set. I'm gonna sneak up on him. I'm gonna put my thumb right up his butt.
Wow, you do a good Australian. Very good.
That's more of South Park.
Appreciate it.